For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
So I think you might be a little bit jealous of this story, this sad story coming out of my family's lives this week. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting, I know, but we'll get into it. So my niece Amelia, she's 4 years old. She's the light of my life and I bloody love her.
She is so cute.
So cute.
Never had the honour of, you know, getting to speak to her or meeting her.
But
man, cute kid. Very cute kid. Keeps you in your place,
yep.
Which is always great.
Sassy
over Christmas, she you got her a gift and she just got into a fight with her about it. You know, just normal auntie stuff.
Yeah, just normal stuff. That was on me, though. I know I should have backed down.
It's hard when you're right.
It's not my fault.
You're 4 and a half and you don't know that you're wrong.
No, but look, my beautiful niece, she got treated this week to a brand new fish tank.
Oh, no. Sorry. No, that's so good. Oh, yay.
Now,
yay.
My sister has now got her, I think it was like 5 guppies in there, like the little ones, gorgeous. Amelia's loving them so much,
yeah.
Obviously. And like every night getting home, they've got all the little princess, like, ornaments in the tank
so nice.
As well, and she's like, this is fantastic. She's named them all. Very, very cute.
I would advise her not to be giving out names.
Well, you're not wrong.
No, this
because
week.
Because within 3 days, these guppies, one by one, dropped like, flies, fish.
Yeah, fish flies.
fly fish.
Wow. And like guppies, like the bottom feeders, like that eat literal mold.
The tiny little ones, they have not survived the week. Now, Tim, I know. You've had a pair of guppies that have outlived almost like many things in your life.
So it's coming up on 12 months since we had 10 fish. We are currently at an 80% less capacity within the tank, but these two remaining guppies are, from what I can see from the photos, at least 6 times the size we got them, but that's because they've been feasting on the carcasses of their former friends.
Yeah, you've been holding on to hope that these two would just decide to leave the earth and move on to their next.
No.
Don't backtrack.
It's not that I'm hoping they die. It's just I'm not actively doing anything to help them continue living.
No.
I feed them.
But you're also not doing anything to help them to not, but you're just, either way, just leaving them be hoping for the best.
How many fish did your niece lose?
5.
Five of how many?
Oh, no, they're gone. All of them. It wasn't good. But also, I just thought...
Did she do something?
No,
like,
nothing like that.
Kids do weird stuff. So they'll just like, oh, yeah, just put like Rinse Aid in there.
Do you want me to find out what they did? Because I know...
This would be a great time for us to meet, actually. Have a bit of a chat. Yeah.
Tim and Davo.
Food's a beautiful thing.
Oh, absolutely.
We're lucky enough that we're mostly in Australia, not just to eat to... Eat, but you eat for flavour, and you get to eat. We have options and choices
for joy, for love.
And when you hear somebody eating something that you don't like, especially like, or two things that you like individually, but they've combined them together, that's a confusing thing because you go, well, why? No, why? That doesn't work. That's a weird combination. I don't like that.
Yeah, but you just don't know. Sometimes those flavors can complement each other, and next minute you've just invented a brand new gorgeous snack.
I don't know. Ava from the newsroom. I don't know if she can hear over there in the newsroom. Ava, come to the news booth because I want to make sure I get this right. She was telling me about her lovely mother who eats a particular type, puts a different thing inside a roll. Ava, what type of roll does your mum make?
I've never seen her do this before, so I was actually a bit concerned on the weekend. We were having salad rolls for lunch, so all your usual toppings, bit of ham in there as well, lettuce, tomato, etc., etc. And I see her pull out the peanut butter jar.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah. I said, Mum, you realised you've grabbed peanut butter there. Just wanted to make sure.
Checking in.
Yeah, just in case it was a little accident. And she said, no, I used to have this a lot when I was probably 30, 40 years ago.
Nah.
And she's bringing it back.
Yeah, so what is it? Peanut butter mixed with ham.
Ham and salad rolls.
Like ham and salad roll, but just with peanut butter added
to
it.
Yeah, like think what you'd get at a bakery, but with peanut butter.
Of course you do.
Interesting combo.
Did you take a bite just quickly?
Absolutely not, no.
Oh, I wish you did just to bring it back to us. Well, thank you.
We could try it.
Yeah, I guess we could try it. Thank you very much.
I just wanted
to make sure it was 100% correct there. But I didn't want to misquote because that's... A ham and salad roll with peanut butter is crazy to me.
It is crazy. Actually, this is a combo that my niece Amelia, the 4-year-old, has started doing. She loves a bit of cheese and peanut butter sandwiches with butter. butter, peanut butter, and cheese on white bread. Healthy.
I'm curious about it. Again, individually, those things all make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love a peanut butter roll just by itself. Even sometimes you're feeling a little bit flirty, you put a bit of butter on it. But adding like a full ham and salad cheese situation in there is crazy.
I've never understood the combination of peanut butter and jelly. I mean, we are focusing a lot of peanut butter here.
And it's jam. It's gross.
Yeah, it's not it. But look, there are different weird food combos that you can get around. I know back in the day I'd love dipping a McDonald's fry into a sundae.
I've always heard that. I've never tried it.
Well, it's just a salty sort of delicious carb into ice cream. I guess it's kind of like...
That's a good deal.
Putting a bit of salt on a pancake or, you know, whatever, and then having ice cream on it.
Okay. Well, 5223295. What's a strange food combo that you swear by? Mm. You're just like, yep, look, stay with me. But these two things or these three things, they all work together for some reason.
What about that TikTok trend? Dua Lipa's bloody...
the ice cream with olive oil.
No.
Oh, another one.
She has the Diet Coke with pickle juice.
Nah, that's not on.
Mm, she loves it and the world has gone nuts for it. It's a weird combo, but it seems like it's more common than you think because we got a call just before from Dale and he said that his dad was loving a Vegemite and walnut sanger.
Oh, man.
Like putting nuts with other things. I mean, gorgeous.
Dale from Geelong. Dale from Geelong West needs some thinking. That's something. Sean from Corio. We're going to hit the phones now. Sean, what's a strange food combo that you swear by?
Hi, guys. Strange food combo, definitely Cadbury chocolate and Thins plain chips.
Thins, yum.
So obviously, it's like the savoury and the sugary combination there. But how would you, like, walk us through how you eat it?
I'd definitely eat at least two or three squares of chocolate first and melt them in my mouth. Then I'd eat the chips on top of it.
Yes.
And I highly suggest that in that order.
So you let it melt in your mouth. Don't swallow. Chips are in there. Then you're mixing it together with the bites.
Yep.
It's like a Sean Chewtery board on his tongue.
Sean. Oh, that one. We're going to have to write these all down. We've got to rank to see if they're
got
all
it.
Right. Maybe we'll do a video at socials at K-Rock Geelong. Thank you very much, Sean. Let's go Andrew and Bell Park now. Andrew, what is a weird and strange food combo that you swear by?
Well, I'm not going to claim it because it's absolutely disgusting, but my dad used to have marmalade and cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's revolting.
Marmalade, like an apricot-y sort of flavor
as
well.
Orange marmalade.
Oh, no.
That's one of like, it doesn't work in any capacity in my mind.
And so did you, as a child, was this something that was offered to you and you had it and you're like, nah, this is not right. I don't like this.
I have no recollection and I wouldn't have eaten it anyway.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't sound good, Andrew.
Okay.
Oh, God, no.
All right. He's clearly carrying.
He sounds angry about it a little bit.
And he should be. Anna in Armstrong Creek's also giving us a call. Anna, what is a strange food combo that you swear by?
So it's a summer one. So you cut a big chunk of watermelon. You put lots of seeded mustard on, some feta, and some prosciutto or bacon, whatever you can find, like meaty. And there you go.
Yeah, righto. We need to stop doing this with watermelon. I've seen this a lot. People with the watermelon salads, watermelon added to everything. There's just times in life where a watermelon should be and times in life where it just shouldn't.
And again, can you just repeat that? Because I think I'm starting to get, I heard watermelon and then it got blurry. I think I might have started hating it.
Okay. Seeded mustard, feta, and prosciutto. Or, as I said, bacon or some sort of salami.
Yeah, blacked out again, weirdly, hearing all of that. It's just, and you swear by it. You go, no, this is a nice treat.
It is. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's got salty, sweet, sour, and then you got the punch of the mustard, which is like, I don't know, umami maybe.
Anna, I'm sure I've seen this on menus. I understand people do like this, but when I see a salad and there's a slice of apricot on top of that, what are you doing? Two worlds colliding that just shouldn't be.
Anna, of all the ones that have called through, that one scares me the most. But we'll write it down, and we are going to taste test all of these, and we'll let you know. Because if you swear by it, then we'll back you in, okay, Anna?
All right, thank you.
There we go.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
We've been chatting to some of the celebs as they leave the jungle from Channel 10 this year, Davo. And like selfishly, I've been a little bit excited about this one.
I know, you're very, very excited. I'll let you introduce him.
He's a former Essendon captain. He's an absolute champion and probably one of the most positive people you'll ever come across. Dyson Heppel, fresh out of the jungle. Yay! Dyson, thank you so much for swinging by the show.
Yes, guys. Good on you. Thanks for having me on. Good stuff.
We are stoked to have you here. Now, Dyson, I've got to ask, what was harder, the jungle or AFL preseason?
Hey, this is a fair shout. I'll tell you what, the rations and literal, like, no food in the jungle was definitely harder than an AFL preseason. I'll give you that.
There you go.
Well, I imagine, like, you've been a professional athlete for the majority of your life now, and stepping away from that, we imagine you were doing a lot of, like, you're eating a lot of food when you're a professional athlete, putting on muscle and that, and then to go from that, then you stop playing football and then you're eating bugs and dirt. That, so you felt that was noticeable?
No doubt. No, it's, I've got a pretty quick metabolism. I eat a lot of chew, so it was a tough one for me, I'll tell you what. But all part of the experience, and I had an absolute ball in my time over there, so bloody good fun.
Well, do you reckon that the AFL training should introduce, like, maybe some bug-eating drills for mental toughness? Do you think that would help?
You're not wrong. I honestly thought I was going to smash the food challenges, and look, I got through them, but the big ox testicle, and I think I had a goat's nut as well, and bugs, and it was a lot harder than I thought. It was, still gagging sort of thinking about it. No good.
Well, it's obviously kind of a once-in-a-lifetime experience. We've spoken to Zach Tui, former Cats player and Blues player, a lot since his time in the jungle. Like, what was your main thing heading in? Like, what did you want to get out of it? Because everyone's got their different reasons.
Well, that's it. Look, I hadn't seen too much of the show. I'd seen it sporadically here and there, but when I did agree to go on, I sort of went back and watched some past series, and I thought, what have I got myself into here? So I semi-thought I knew what I was going into, but once I got in there and sort of challenging the first little bit, once you don't know everyone, but I learned just how quickly we got to know each other within those first few days, and then just being really present, having no phone, you got to be quite still, and you can get quite bored throughout your days. But I actually loved it, just getting to know each other on a deeper level and just sharing stories. And, you're under the tree canopies, you got monkeys swinging over your head, you got a waterfall to swim in, and go and shift some tin down at the jungle gym at the creek, and all the different animals and birds and whatnot. It was quite incredible. It was amazing.
Well, you are so positive, and I think your legacy on the campsite was that you were so positive. And I mean, everyone does have their down days, but what is it that keeps you so positive? Like, what can you embark on other people for them to take that into their lives?
Wow, it's not a bad shout. I think I've always just been quite an optimistic type of guy, but I don't know. I sort of, particularly in my time at camp, I was just unbelievably grateful to be there. And, not many people in Australia or celebrities themselves get the chance to have a go at this. So I was just open and willing to have a good crack. And, I think I was fortunate throughout my career to mix with so many different personalities and characters, and then going into the jungle, there was exactly that, different personalities and people who handled things differently. And I think my time in the AFL system helped me navigate that and help others where I could. And, I certainly get a kick out of making someone else feel better, I guess. And if I've left a positive impact on them, then how good's that, So, I think I just played my part, but was my authentic self, and that was my bit as part of the jungle family.
If anyone's seen the show this year, they've seen you talk a lot about, and I think a lot of your other castmates in the jungle were talking a lot about the Essendon drug scandal that's happened 10 plus years ago now. I imagine, like, having to tell that story over and over again, I've seen you talk about it since you've been on the show as well. What's that like? Like, going through those, that's such a big time, and you were quite young when that happened yourself. Is it hard, kind of, especially now in a national audience, talking about it over and over again?
Well, it's a good shout. I think, you know, if I was thrust in that environment, you know, even 3 or 4 years ago, I would not have felt comfortable at all to talk about it. But I think now that I've just come to complete terms with it, I've completely forgiven everyone that was involved at the time. And, you know, I've embraced that part of my life now that, you know, I was more than happy to talk about it and quite therapeutic to do so. And, you know, grateful for the guys to be quite curious about it and willing to listen. And, yeah, no, I think it's great that I was able to have the opportunity to share my story with a broader audience.
Well, it was awesome to see you so open. I know a lot of men struggle with that, so it was fantastic
Incredible.
To see. Now that you're out of the jungle, it might even hurt me to say this because I'm excited for you. You've got a new gig at Collingwood, which as a former Essendon player, I imagine walking into Collingwood must have been a strange feeling. But are you looking forward to this year but feeling like you're wearing a different kind of stripe?
Well, this is it, mate. Now I am always a Dons man through and through. Don't worry about that. So, okay, you can rest the head on the pillow at night knowing that I'm always a Dons man. It's all good.
Tim's but just wiped a tear.
It's okay, Tim. It's okay, mate. We're all right. Oh, dear. But no, look, I've kicked off that my coaching gig there, which I'm actually really enjoying, and it was a bit weird rolling in the doors, being pretty vicious rivals over the years, but always, you know, you have a healthy respect for each other, particularly as players, and just an opportunity to learn under, you know, some terrific coaches there and develop my skills as a coach and bring my own authenticity to the role. So I'm looking forward to growing in that capacity and seeing how we go down there this year.
Like I said, Tim is very happy to hear that
good.
News.
We're
that's
fine.
Fantastic. Now, Dyson, before we let you go, I've got some rapid-fire questions for you. We just need a quick answer from each of them. Shall we rip in?
Let's go. Rapid fire. Here we are.
Right. Spiders or snakes?
Spiders.
Hunger or sleep deprivation?
Sleep deprivation.
Jungle or AFL pressure?
Oh, wowee, jungle.
Camel balls or goat testy?
Wow. I'll go the goat testy.
And would you go back to the jungle, yes or no?
100%. Get me back there.
All right.
Very well done, Dyson
Heppel. Fresh out of the jungle from I'm a Celeb in 2026. We appreciate you swinging by the show. And best of luck with Collingwood this year, Dyson.
Good on you, mate. I might have to take a few anchors at training in the lead up to Anzac Day, mate. I'll give you that.
You're a legend.
No, good on you guys. Thanks so much.
It's Tim and Davo.
I want to talk to you about a burrito place in St Kilda up near the city.
Mm-hmm.
And food's expensive these days.
Oh, yeah. Going out to eat it's going to cost you a dime.
And, like, sometimes you get, like you go to a restaurant, you get a sit-down fish and chip. So not, like, where you go to a fish and chip and you just get, like, the box and the paper and what all those kind of things. Like, where it's, like, $40 for just, like, a fish and chips. And, like, that's pretty crazy. But this is wild. And it has to do with surcharges and why they're being put on. So it's a burrito place. This person has posted this on Reddit. And they're like, is this crazy? On the 27th of December, we purchased 3 burritos, and the total of $97 seemed high to me. So I asked for
3 burritos for $97.
Yep. So I asked for an itemized paper receipt. And then they pointed out at the bottom there was a public holiday rate of 11%, and then a Saturday-Sunday rate surcharge on top of that as well for an additional 10%. All of the surcharges together, including some other ones that are there, was a 26%.
Ripping off tax. All
all the ones that we don't need.
Give me all your money.
But,
surcharge.
Yeah. So, and then there was a card surcharge on top of that as well. But 26% surcharge on top of the burrito. So the burritos should have been, from what I can see, about $60 for the 3 of them, which $20 for a burrito is pretty expensive.
Pretty
regardless.
Steep, but the surcharges do count, and that is a huge amount of money to be spending on a couple of burritos.
Yep. So they said that they'd heard of the Sunday charge, but Saturday-Sunday surcharge seemed new. I've never heard of a Saturday-Sunday.
No, this happened to me the other week, and I was actually gobsmacked by it. You would not believe how much I spent on a breakfast and a juice.
Okay, what are we talking here? What was the food?
I'll tell you the meal. So it was some scrambled eggs, chili, hash browns, avocado, bacon.
Mm. What juice are we talking?
It was a green juice.
Green juice. Oh, I'm hoping it's nowhere near $30, Davo.
$30, I would have honestly, I would have skipped out of there quite happy. It cost me, because it had a Saturday, sorry, I'm frustrated. It had a Saturday surcharge, which I think is outrageous. Sunday I can understand because Sunday rates, but Saturday, are you kidding? That's a weekday almost.
Yeah.
It cost me $67.
Sorry, I don't even know what sound that was that exited my body.
Financially devastated after a breakfast. I could not believe it. A Saturday surcharge. Sunday, understand. Like, are people getting higher rates on a Saturday? Is that part of it?
Yeah, like, let us know. 5223295. But $97 for some burritos is wild.
Bro, that was feeding three people. $67 for okay. a breakfast.
All right, I should have opened up this wound. It was an expensive wound.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.